Amen. How many of you love the Lord tonight? I know I sure do. I tell you what, He's good to us. He's patient. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you. I'm enjoying my year. Amen. Heaven's kissing earth. It's touching down on earth. Days of heaven on earth. Amen. Amen. We're seeing it already. You know, we're seeing it in our church, our three services. We've gotten a lot of good seed members. We had almost 1,500 people here Sunday morning. The Lord's increasing us. He's abounding. Yeah, all good things to us. And so we're primed and ready to go over to three services. Excited about that. Had a wonderful event this past weekend on that Saturday. God's Daughters. Close to 100 women getting together and learning about the Lord. Amen. Miss Carolyn, I heard, did a fantastic job. Amen. And so we're excited about it. Yeah, let's give her a hand. Amen. And all the ladies who helped put it on. It's splendid to see what's happening there. You know, it's one of those things that we're not having to watch or manage as far as a staff. They've got such a wonderful group of volunteers. They just take it and run with it and let God get in it. Amen. It makes a difference when God gets in something, doesn't it? Amen. Well, go over with me, if you will, this evening to the book of Matthew chapter 25. On the screens, if you can pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. We're going to Matthew 25 and we'll start reading in verse 14. On the screens, if you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. I was going to pick up with where I left off last week. Had plenty of notes and things along that line talking about excellence. Amen. And that all of us ought to be a possessor and have a spirit of excellence. Go over to Philippians where Paul says, approve those things that are excellent. Meaning if it's not excellent, you shouldn't approve it. And that goes for every area of your life. If your love walk's not excellent, well, don't approve it. Raise your standard. Amen. If your health is not excellent, don't just sit there and let it be that way. Raise your standard and improve it. So I was going to go along those lines and, you know, pick up where we left off last week. And anyway, as I was studying and getting ready, about 1:30 or so this afternoon, I had those notes before me. I was just praying over them and just felt impressed tonight to go a little bit of a different way. We may pick up with the other stuff next week. But to touch on another area of this subject of stewardship. It's a huge subject. And friends, I know I've said it, but I'm going to say it again. This subject has absolutely everything to do with whether or not you and I will walk in what God wants us to walk in concerning increase. And I'm not just talking increase financially. I'm talking about increase in every arena of life. How good of a steward you are with love determines how much love is in your life. How good of a steward you are with your possessions determines whether or not God can bring more possessions. How good of a steward you are with money has everything to do with whether or not God will bless you with more. How good of a steward you are with the job you have has everything to do with whether or not God can give you a better one or promote you on that job. How good of a steward you are with your body has everything to do with how much health and vitality you will have. Friends, I'm telling you, you and I, we have to learn how to be good stewards. And I know for all of us, there are areas in our life where we can be better stewards in, whether it's keeping a home or keeping a house or keeping a body or over our money or over our emotions or over our time. There are all areas in your life and in mine that we can improve upon. And so the goal of this is to highlight areas that you and I can make improvements in so that we can see the increase that God longs to bring in our life actually come into our life. And so our golden text has been in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Let's look at God's word tonight. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now whose goods are these? These are the man's traveling, the Lord of the household. He has goods and he's delivering his goods to these people. And this is how what we said in our life, all, everything that's in our possession, it's not really ours. They're God's goods. He's given them to us to watch over, to be a steward of. And so we see this lord of this particular household gives his goods to three different people. And we see in verse 15 who he gave them to and how much he gave them. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went out and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There's always a day of reckoning. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good. Now I want you to underline or highlight this next word, because this is the word we want to talk about tonight. Thou good and faithful servant. Everyone say faithful.
Faithful.
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Notice once again how faithful this man was with the little, determined whether or not God would give him more. He proved himself faithful over that which he had, so his Lord came unto him and said, you qualify for more, and entrusted more into his care. How many of you want to qualify for more? I don't know about you, but I believe the path of the righteous ought to grow brighter and brighter. Our lives ought to get continually better and better and better, regardless of the economy or anything else. Our life, your life, ought to get better. It ought to get brighter. Well, how do we qualify for more? We've got to be a faithful steward over what we currently have. We'll see this goes on here in verse 22. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good. We see that word again. And faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so we see here that we have 2 men who were faithful over the little that was entrusted into their care. And because these men were classified as faithful stewards over what had been entrusted into their care, they qualified themselves, or we could say positioned themselves, to receive more from their Lord. Now, the most important scripture in this entire passage is verse 14. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Basically, he's saying how his government operates. We just had the State of the Union last night, hearing things about our government. Well, God's got a government as well, but his is not a democracy. His is a kingdom. There's only one king in this kingdom, and that is God the Father. He is ruler over all. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. And he entrusts things into our possession. And he's telling us, and whenever you hear Jesus mention the kingdom, he's basically saying how his government, his system of doing things, operates. And so we see here that in his government, God's got a system for increase. He's got a system, laws, if you will, in his government that when they're adhered to and when they're acted upon, or we could say when they're kept, good things happen. And when they're not kept, just like in any other government where there's laws, there are consequences to those actions. We see if you keep reading here for the sake of time, we won't. But if you keep reading here, we've already read it the last 2 weeks, there was a person that was delivered 1 talent to. But this man was an unfaithful servant. He violated the laws of the kingdom. And because of that, he saw decrease come into his life. Friends, God never intended you or I to ever have a decrease of anything. I mean of anything. No decrease should come into your life at any time. Only continual increase. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times and seasons where we got to adjust. And there are times of seasons where we need to manage properly what the Lord has given us. But friends, it's God's will for you and I to continually see increase. And we see the laws that govern it are based off of how good of a steward you are of what is currently in your possession. So we've been looking at, well, what does it take to be a good steward? And we talked about the subject of excellence. We said, don't you think it would be a good idea that if our stewardship determines whether or not we can have more and receive more, it'd be worth our while to find out what makes one a good steward. And so we talked about the subject of excellence. But we see very clearly here that also if you're going to be classified as a good steward, if you're going to be someone who qualifies or positions yourself to receive more, one also must be found faithful. We see this here in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Paul is talking and he says, moreover, it is required. Everyone say required. Anyone know what required means? Mandatory. This is not a suggestion. This is not something that's a good idea. Required literally means required. There's no getting around this, in other words. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There's that word again. Notice stewardship and faithfulness linked up. Go over to the book of Luke. I'll take you to one more scripture here and one more on the screens, and then we'll build off of that. Go over to the book of Luke, chapter 12, and let's look here in verse 42. And if on the screens, can you pull up Proverbs 28 and verse 20? On the screens, Proverbs 28 and verse 20, we're looking at Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. Everyone say evidence. 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 We want evidence that supports our case. And well, the evidence that we're showing you tonight is that if you're going to be a good steward, God has to count you faithful. Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. Notice this in verse 42, Jesus is talking here. And the Lord said, who then is that, there's this word again, faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Now, I believe we're in a due season. I believe this year's a due season for increase. And notice this. It's saying, who then is faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? He answers himself within the question. The person who's going to get in charge of his Lord's household, who's going to receive his meat in due season, or you could say his provision, his increase in due season, is a servant, a steward that's been found faithful. Faithful and wise. Now notice this in Proverbs 28 and verse 20. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Notice this word faithful. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. So if you see someone who's living in God's kingdom abounding with blessings, somewhere at some time they've been counted faithful. Well, if that's the case, then the opposite would be true, would it not? Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. If my life, and I'll just use me as an example, if my life is not abounding with blessings, then what would be a determining factor as to why it wouldn't be? Thank you. You answered it for me. Somewhere at some time, I must not have been counted faithful by God. Now, this word faithful, every time it's mentioned in the New Testament, it always means the same thing. It comes from the word faith, obviously, and so it's got ties in with that in the Greek. But what this word faithful means, if you look it up in the Greek, is really just one other word that's very close to it, and that's the word trustworthy. Trustworthy. If you are found faithful, it means that God has found you worthy of His trust. A faithful man, a trustworthy man, will abound in the blessings of the Lord. Well done, thou good and trustworthy steward. You've been trustworthy over that which is little. Now I'm going to bless you with much. Who is the man that shall abound with blessings and get all the things in his master's house and receive meat, his increase, his portion in due season? It's the man who's been found trustworthy. Now, how many of you remember when Doug Jones was here, he talked about faithfulness. And he was talking about how you and I can learn to count God faithful. And he gave us a recipe on how you and I could count on God's faithfulness, or a recipe that identifies faithfulness. Does anyone remember what that was? It was 3 points. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give it to you real briefly right here all over again. I'm going to have to write Doug a letter and tell him he's not as good of a teacher as he thinks he is. All right, Doug Jones gave us a recipe for faithfulness. Let me find a marker that works here. Recipe, there. Well, this one may work. He gave us a recipe for faithfulness. The first recipe, number one, was what did he being God, say? Everyone say, what did he say? That's recipe number one, the first ingredient in there. Number two, let me see if a red will work here better. There we go. Number two, what did you do with what he said? And number three, what did God do with what you did? Does everyone understand how this works? I'll give you an example, biblically speaking. Jesus, at the wedding of Canaan, they run out of wine. They're panicking. Jesus' mother says, don't worry about it. Don't have no fear. Jesus is here. Brings Jesus over. And she tells the servants there, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Jesus tells them, take these water pots, go over and fill them up with water. Take them to the governor of the feast. Draw out to drink, and it'll be turned into wine. That's what he said. Now, what did they do? They obeyed him. They took the water pots over to the well, and they filled them up to the brim. Maximum obedience. Took it to the governor of the feast. They drew it out and served him. So he told them, fill it up, take it to the governor of the feast. What did they do with what he said? They did exactly what he said. Then what did he do about what they did? He rewarded their obedience by turning that water into wine. That recipe is a degree for faithfulness. After that happened, I guarantee you, those servants could say, he's faithful. Faithful means you can put your faith in something. If someone, especially God, is a keeper of their word, that means you can put your faith in them. They're not going to move. They're not going to change. Because you know, if he said, by my stripes, you are healed, and you confess that, stand on that, and believe that, he can be counted faithful because he will watch over his word to perform it once you do what he told you to do with that word. Isn't that right? All right, now this is how Sarah, and you know, Doug gave the story and the example of Sarah, who was changed radically by counting God faithful. Her body had strength to bear children because she counted God faithful. Well, how could she do that? She could go back in her and Abraham's life and trace back when God told them to launch out into a city and they didn't know where, but they just knew God was going to take them and he said he would increase them. So they launched out. They acted on God's word. And sure enough, God did exactly what he said he would do. He blessed them. They could count God faithful. So a recipe for God's faithfulness is, what did he say? What did you do with what he said? And then what did God do about what you did? If you can look at that, you can find the faithfulness of God. Now, how can we take this and learn faithfulness about ourselves? What's the recipe for us to be counted faithful? There are two sides to this. The first side I want to deal with tonight is a little bit different than what I thought I was going to share. The first side I want to deal with this issue of faithfulness, you being counted faithful, you qualifying to receive more, the first ingredient in this recipe of your faithfulness is this. What did you say? And two, what did you do about what you said? Does anybody have someone in mind that you could classify as they're faithful or they're unfaithful? I'll give you someone. There's this lady. She cuts my hair. And when I first made the very first appointment, she told me to be there at a certain time. So I got there at a certain time. She said something. I got there at a certain time. You know, she said, just say, be there at 12. So I get there at 12, and she's not ready for me yet. There's still a customer there, those types of things. Well, you know, it happens. Well, you go back the next time, and it's the same type of thing. You go back the next time, it's the same type of thing. So in my mind, I've judged her as unfaithful. Now, she's a nice lady, and so I keep using her. But it's just, if she says be there at 12, I know get there at 12:15, and we'll be all right. But how did I come up with that certainty, if you will? It's because she said something, but she didn't honor what she said. Friends, I am telling you, this issue is bigger than you could possibly imagine with God. It's huge. It's huge. A good steward is a faithful steward. A faithful steward is someone who says something and then does what they say. They say, I'll be there at this time. They show up at that time. You can put your faith in them. You can count them as worthy of your trust. And there's this epidemic, and not just in the body of Christ, but in people themselves, of not being people of their word. And when they say something, they talk too much or commit to too much, and then they back out of what they said. And we all have things like that that happen in life. We've all had that happen to us before, and chances are we've all done that before. But God is taking stock of every word that comes out of your mouth. Every word. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. I'll show it to you. I'll prove it to you. Everyone say evidence. And what you do with what you said you would do has everything to do with whether or not God counts you faithful. Ecclesiastes. Wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And let's look at verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll look at verse 1. If you're looking for Ecclesiastes, find Proverbs and keep turning. Ecclesiastes to the right. Turn to the right. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Very interesting passage of scripture. Right after this, we're going to hop over to Psalms. So just get ready. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 1, it says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Now notice, let's preface this. He's saying that he's about to classify some people who are doing something and they don't think or realize it's evil. Well, what is this thing that they're about to do? Verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Now let's just stop right here. How many of you know everything you say is uttered before God? Everything. You remember Aaron and Miriam? They didn't realize that God was listening. They were having a back conversation about Moses' wife. And they didn't like his choice of marriage partner. And they're talking about it, just thinking it's them two. But God was listening to every word. And they had to give an account for those words. Now watch this. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you are upon earth. Therefore let your words be few. How much should we talk? Little, few, not much. Why? Watch this. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of his words. Watch this, verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, what's a vow? It's saying I'm going to do something. I'll give you an example. Marriage, you know, people are getting married. They're up there before the preacher. The preacher is saying, do you promise to take this woman to be your wife, to love her, protect her, honor her, so long as you both shall live? And, you know, they go in through, you know, some people, we don't get into this because we don't believe in richer or poorer or better or worse and those things. But you know the thing, they're committing their love to each other. What do we call that portion of the service? Vows. They're exchanging vows. What are exchanging vows? It's them saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for you. Now, when people honor those vows, what do we call that? We call that being faithful. If people don't honor those vows, what do we call that? Being unfaithful. And so making a vow, when he's saying this in verse 4, it's not just saying, God, I vow, or God, I promise. It's saying, I'm going to do this. When you say you're going to do something, you have made a vow. Now watch this. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou should notest vow than that thou should vow and not pay. What's he saying? If someone asks you to do something, it's better to just tell them no or not say anything at all than say yes and not do it. I'll give you an example. Will you pray for me? Oh yeah, I'll pray for you. When you said that, you didn't realize God heard you say that, and in his eyes, you made a vow. You see how loose we are sometimes with our words? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'll be by at such and such time. You can count on me. Really, really. Because this is what we're getting at, is faithfulness is a huge part of stewardship. And being faithful means people can count on you. And you and your word are just like God, inseparable. Watch this. Better is it, verse 5, that thou should not vow than thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause your flesh to sin. This is very interesting to me. Neither say before the angel that it was an error. I didn't mean that. He said, not only did God hear it, but your angel did too. I didn't mean it that way. Let's keep reading here. Neither say before your angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at that voice and destroy the work of your hands? Now this is a huge, huge issue. And I'm telling you, at the beginning of this year, the Lord dealt with me. He said, you need to say no more often. And I didn't realize what he meant. And as I was praying about it, he revealed to me what it was. I'm generally, I consider myself a nice guy. And so oftentimes I'll say I'm going to help with something and, you know, things just being nice because you really want to. But if you're not careful, you overcommit yourself and you have to go back to those people and say, hey, that's not going to work for me. Can we do it on a different date? Can we change this, move this, this kind of thing? And the Lord dealt with me that instead of me having to go and say, hey, can we change this, move this? Just say no, or I can't commit to that right now. Because it is better to say that than to say you are going to do something and not do it. Because based off of what you say, by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. He goes on to say that for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth, we will give an account for. Friends, I promise you, we've got to learn to let our yeses be yeses and our no be nos. When we say we're going to do something, we do it. And don't ever fall into that trap of, God, if you just get me out of this one time, I promise you, Lord, I'll do A, B, C, D. God, if you just pay these bills this one time, just let me, I promise you, Lord, I'll always tithe. Friend, I'm telling you, when you go through that list of doing things, it's better for you to say nothing than to make a promise to God and not follow through on it. Go to the book of Psalms. We'll close with this. Book of Psalms. And watch this in chapter 15. This is not one of those subjects that just makes people want to immediately go out and buy the CD. Download the podcast. But listen to me when I say this. This subject is huge. It's huge. When you tell your boss you are going to show up at 9 o'clock, what time should you show up? 9. Not 9:01, not 9:02. You've given your word to something. So what do we always do with our word? We honor it. When we say we're going to be somewhere, we are there. We honor our word. When we commit to a New Year's resolution, we don't back out or forget about it come February. Because if we said we were going to do something, we swear to our own hurt and we change not. We'll see this scripture over here in Psalms chapter 15 and verse 1. This is a great passage of scripture. Watch this. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in thy holy hill? Well, he's saying, who's going to be close to you, Lord? Who's walking with you? Verse 2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up an approach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but honor the Lord, honor them that fear the Lord. Watch this. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. What's he saying? When you say you're going to do something, you do it even if it hurts you. You don't back off from what you say. Why is that? You're proving yourself faithful. A faithful man shall abound with the blessings of the Lord. I never will forget it. My father told my family one year, I was just a little boy, that we were going to go to Disney World. And something happened, something came up, and for whatever reason, he couldn't commit to that. Now, I probably would have forgotten about it. I was so young, you know, I would have looked forward to going to Disney. But if it would have shifted or moved a couple of weeks, then, you know, I probably wouldn't have noticed. But I never will forget it. He came to me and set me and my sister down and looked me in the eyes and said, Daddy said he was going to do this. And Daddy believes in swearing to his own hurt and not changing. And so I've made another commitment that I can't get out of. And so I'm going to ask you for your forgiveness. I'm just a little kid. I'm just a little kid. But my father realizes he's given me his word on something. And his word is his bond. And so he comes and asks for forgiveness. I shouldn't have been rushed to say that. Now we went later, but I never will forget it. I never will forget that moment. And it taught me such a valuable lesson in life. Because that's one thing that I always knew about my father. Was you could count on him. You could count on him. I mean, when he was your friend, it didn't matter what happened in life. You knew he would always be your friend. When he was for you, it didn't matter if anything happened, what you did, you knew he was going to be there. He made a commitment. And friends, that's one of the reasons why I think God blessed him the way he blessed him, was because God could count on him. He proved himself trustworthy. Friends, in my life and in yours, I want you to do something for me and do something for yourself. I want you to put a watch over your mouth. And especially this year, in the season of time where I feel like it's God's season, I mean, where just supernatural things are going to happen. I mean, just miraculous things. I believe this is going to be a year of just signs and wonders in every arena of life. It's going to show up for the servants, the stewards, who've proven themselves faithful. So put a watch over your mouth. And if you can't commit to it, just say you can't commit to it. If you have to say no, then say no. And anything else that you've made a vow to. Now, what's a vow? It's anything you said you would do. Anything else that you've made a vow to, deliver on what you said. Whether it was to visit someone in the hospital, or the other day, my grandfather, this past Sunday, he was the same one who was dealing with the thing with his internal bleeding and all of that. He made it out of that, but he had heart issues as well. And this past Sunday, he had a heart attack. And I got the text message in between first and second service, so you can imagine dealing with those types of things while you preach, that type of thing. But anyway, he's fine and all of that. So after the service, I immediately went up to the hospital there. And I go in, and while I'm sitting there talking to him, I can stay there a little bit longer because I'm a preacher. And so family and things have to get out at certain time, but because you're a minister, you can come into the ICU at any time. And so I'm there, and it's just me and him. And he looks at me, and we're just holding hands. And, you know, he's been through so much these last couple of months concerning health and whatnot that he's seeing just how valuable life is. And he looks up at me, and he says, you know, we need to get together and do lunch like we said we were going to do more often. And years ago when my father passed away, I knew exactly what he was talking about. Because years ago when my father passed away, now we're coming up on 10 years, when that happened, he came and said, you know, I want to go out to lunch more and just take you out. I know that you don't have that father figure that you had in person, you know, here anymore on this earth. And so I just want to take you out to lunch and check up on you and walk with you and things like that and just, you know, help you in life. And I wanted to do the same for him. Now, I don't know why. I guess it's just getting busy. But 10 years have gone by. And we haven't done that like we both knew we were going to do. And so when I looked at him and he looked at me and he said that, I said, you know what, you're right, we need to do that. When I say that, my word is my bond. And I need to see it as such. When I say I'm going to do that, nothing should pull me away from that. Even if I have to swear to my own hurt where it hurts me because I need to swear to my own hurt and change not and not back off from what I say. Why? It's God's way of showing faithfulness, of testing, if you will, faithfulness. Friends, I want to encourage you in every arena of your life, whether it's talking to a grandfather or whether it's to a neighbor or whether it is to a church or if it's to God. If you tell God you're going to do something, do it. If you tell a neighbor you're going to do something, do it. If you tell someone who works with you, or you tell someone, a family member, someone that you're going to do something, do it. I'm telling you, it's more than just being a person of your word. To God, His word and your word are everything. They are everything. He judges this entire world based off of what it says. Salvation is not a work thing. It is a one confession. If you accept Him with your mouth and believe in your heart, it happens. That's how we get into God's kingdom, is with our words. And how God's system operates is with our word. In the book of Genesis, Jacob came up and said, God, if you help me, he's running from Esau. And he was nervous about his journey. And so I don't know if you've ever been there before, but just nervous about life. I'll close with this. And just nervous because he doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know how Uncle Laban's going to treat him. And he knows Esau wants to kill him. And so Jacob made a vow. You can read about it in Genesis 28. He made a vow on a particular mountain. And he told God, he said, God, if you watch over me and protect me, if you help me, then I promise to you that I will build you a temple, a house, or we could say today a church. And I'll give you 10% of all the increase that comes in. Basically saying I'm going to tithe. Well, you know the story. After that, he goes with Laban. Well, for years, he's mistreated by Laban. Years. But finally, God comes and he's getting ready. This is fascinating. You read about it in Genesis 31. God comes and God's about to give him a strategy to get a multitude of increase. And we've talked about that strategy before with how to turn solid animals and get them to produce speckled and spotted offspring. Because he made the deal with Laban that all the speckled and spotted offspring would be his. All the solid color animals would be Laban's. And they made this pact. And it looked good because Laban looked over his flocks and saw they're all solid. So this is wonderful. I mean, this guy, what's he thinking? But the reason why he did that was God gave Jacob a strategy on how to get all these solid animals to produce speckled and spotted offspring. But before God gave him the strategy, God reminded him of something. And you know what God came to him and said? He said, I don't know if you remember where you were standing when you made that vow, but we're at that place right now. We're at the very place you made the vow. And he said, I remember it. God remembered it. He's reminding Jacob of the vow he made. And before he gave them the strategy, Jacob, the strategy for increase, for abundance. This is fascinating. Before he did that, God said, you need to remember what you said you would do. It's the same way in your life and mine. God's word is his bond. He watches over it to perform it. If he says he's going to do it, he watches over it until it is done. Even if it hurts him, because it did. He sent his son Jesus to honor his word. His lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And when we enter into God's kingdom, his system of doing things, he expects the same from us. When we say something, he expects it to be our bond. We are tied to it. Even if it winds up in some way hurting us, because it never will. It may short term, but long term, when we watch over our word to perform it, God sees faithfulness. I can trust him. Faithfulness. And what happens to a faithful man? They shall abound in the blessings of the Lord. I'm going to be faithful. And if you're here tonight, you say, I know I missed it. I know I told sister so-and-so, neighbor so-and-so, I'd do such-and-such. Well, friends, God is good. And while it's hard to gain people's trust back after we've been unfaithful sometimes, it is not hard to gain God's. You admit it, quit it, and forget it. If you have been unfaithful in an area, you judge yourself, and what happens? You will not be judged. You go to God and say, God, I know I said I'd do such and such, and I have let you down there or let them down there. I am sorry. Friends, mercy comes. But after that, it's just like if you violate love, you go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I violated love. I thank you, Lord. I am forgiven. I claim your mercy. You are free. But that does not mean after you do that, you don't go out and walk in love. And so if you've made a vow that you haven't kept, don't just go and say, God, I ask for forgiveness. No, get that forgiveness, get that mercy, and then go fulfill the vow. If it can still be fulfilled. Does that make sense? And I'm telling you, when you do that, God said, faithful. Faithful. I can trust him. Look at him. His word is his bond. Her word is her bond. That's a faithful woman. That's a faithful man. And then the blessings come rolling in. Oh, I'm telling you, aren't you glad we serve a faithful God who we can trust? And God's saying, I'm telling you, I'm watching your faithfulness. And those who can trust, I mean, their vessels fit for the master's use. Amen. I could keep going, but I won't. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've been a wonderful audience tonight. Oh, it's so good teaching you. Amen. Preaching to you. Before we leave here, just want to make sure everyone got what they needed, especially concerning the area of salvation. So if you're here tonight and you don't know whether or not you're born again, what I mean by that is, I'm sure you know about God. You're at church on Wednesday night. I'm sure you've heard about the Word. If you haven't, you've heard it tonight. And so I'm sure that you're no stranger to Christianity and to Christ. But we always like to give the opportunity, the chance for people to be born again. Well, somebody says, how do you know if you're born again or not? You know. Salvation is a know-so experience. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit.